welcome to the Super Chunky Podcast with your host, Christy and Bert.
All right, welcome to episode 9. Today is January 26th, 2019. I'm surprised I didn't screw that up this time.
I don't know what I want to say. I was going to make a joke, but nothing came. Like, good job, finally.
Oh, we have, well, kind of a lot to talk about, especially in TV. Let's see, we've got RuPaul's Drag Race that started, All-Stars 4, Celebrity Big Brother 2. I've started watching The Masked Singer. So we should probably start with RuPaul's Drag Race.
Which is about as far as I've gotten. I'm still really... I had one episode that hasn't recorded or didn't record because Friday night is for some reason getting really crowded on my schedule. And I only have a dual tuner TiVo. So some people have four, but mine is old and only has two. And so like if I have more than two things that need to record at the same time, which for the most part is okay for our shows, but Drag Race is an hour and a half.
Right.
And so it interferes with two time slots.
Right.
So it gets really tricky. So I figured out how to manipulate the schedule now, but that one, like I think it was episode 4, didn't record and it never replayed. Like they used to replay too. So if I missed the original airing, it wasn't a big deal because my TiVo would pick up a future one, but it only airs once now that right. I can find out. It never picks up another episode
right.
or another, you know, showing. So, so I got stuck there, but the first three episodes are fun.
Yeah.
I think it was a while ago now.
And I'm want to see, I don't want to, cause you haven't seen 4 yet. So I don't want to say anything. So you've seen, how far behind am I? Or are we? Because like, I think I've seen, okay. So you, have you seen 5 and 6?
Well, no, because
no,
I watched
haven't seen
them in
4.
Order. So I've only seen the first three episodes.
Okay. So I can't spoil anything because it starts to get good after that.
I'm going to try to deal with that one episode because the other, the 5, 6, and 7 have recorded. It's just, I need to go watch 4.
Okay.
So I should hopefully get caught up this weekend.
Okay. But. So you only know. So the last one for those who haven't watched yet. So you've seen Gia Gunn get eliminated. Because that was episode 3.
Okay. That sounds familiar.
So for you, it's Jasmine Masters, Pharah Moon, and Gia Gunn have all been eliminated. So,
yes.
Okay. I can't talk about anything else after that. Got it. And now I've just spoiled, I think, 7 for myself because I'm on Wikipedia and it tells me who's been eliminated. Dang it.
Oh,
I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy about it, but I won't say who it is.
I think that I had something like that with a totally something different where I'm like, oh, no, I right. know what happens. I didn't want to know what happens yet because I'm not there.
Okay, so what do you think of the contestants that we have up there?
I thought it was nice. You know, I still haven't seen all of the previous seasons of just regular Drag Race. So there were some folks who were new to me. Gia Gunn was one of them who I didn't know anything.
She hasn't changed much other than she's now, you know, she's came out as trans. But before that, it's still the same witch.
Well, that's good to know.
I didn't like her back then either.
Yeah. I was a little sad about Pharah Moon because I don't know. There's something about
her
that I like.
She's cute, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
She feels like one of those one trick ponies. Like this
Monique drives me crazy.
Right.
So, for the most part,
I love Monique Hart. I love Monet Exchange. I love Trinity the Tuck. And I'm a huge fan of Manila just because she's a Minnesota girl.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I knew that.
She started at, I think, at the 90s.
Yeah. She was another one that I didn't know but previous to watching.
Yeah. So
season,
I was excited about that. And then, so did you see any of the past seasons of the All-Stars?
I saw the last one. I think it was the first one that I had seen.
Okay. Cause I think in the first one is when Manila and, Latrice were together. They were teamed up.
Okay.
So they became Latrilla So, and they had to play pretty much almost the whole season. You were in a team. Which was really hard for some people because they were stuck with people they didn't like. And okay. So, yeah. So they, but they had to work on a lot of challenges together. So they really did have a bond. So, yeah. And then, I mean, other, so there's not a whole lot that we could talk about this yet because the juice doesn't happen until after four.
Right. You know, it's like I know I'm behind, but I wasn't thinking about my podcasting responsibilities in order to make sure I get myself caught up. So I'll do better.
But we can talk about, did you see who they are and have announced for the next season of Drag Race?
I have not.
Okay. Let me go do that. Drag Race season. What are we at? 12?
I don't know. 50. Oh, wait. 50 is for something else I'm working on. Never mind.
Okay. Nope. Maybe it's 13. Anyways, all I remember is Mercedes Iman Diamond from Minnesota is one of the contestants.
Oh.
So I'm excited. We have another Minnesota. So we've had three now because Bibi Bataharabaneh started out in Minnesota and she was the first season queen. And then we've had Manila, who's been on there quite a few times now. And then now we'll have Mercedes Diamond. So I'm excited.
Am I supposed to know who that is, or is it just that it's someone else from Minnesota?
I know who she is just because I go out to these things a lot. So I know who she is. But yeah, she's kind of a big deal here. I think she's been a pageant queen winner a lot. Okay. She does. I think she's based out of the 90s, hosts a lot of shows. So yeah. We were all excited.
Sometimes I'm not really connected to the fact that there's actually like live things that happen related to drag, not just Drag Race. Like Drag Race is pretty much all I know.
Okay, so then let's move on. How caught up are you on Celebrity Big Brother 2?
I am 100% caught up on Celebrity Big Brother.
I did not watch. Was it last night's?
Okay.
Is that?
Oh man.
Is that the? See? But I've read an article, so I already know.
Okay.
Is that the one with the Mooch?
Yeah. The reveal?
Yeah. So I've read about it. I haven't seen it, but I've read about it.
But do you know who was voted out?
No, I do not. None of that I know. But you know what? It doesn't bother me at all. So it's fine.
I'm a little sad.
Okay. What do we think of the people so far? We'll start with there.
Most of them, I don't know who they are.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, obviously, I follow the Olympics, but I did not know who Lolo Jones is. Ryan Lochte, of course I do because I follow all the swimming, but, there were a lot of people that are like, I don't know where they came from or what they did, but I think I figured out like a couple of the gals are maybe like from Real Housewives stuff. And I've never watched any of that. So that is part of it. It's like celebrities and who's mine.
So let me pull them up. So I have them in front of me. Okay. So Dina Lohan, we know is the momager of Lindsay Lohan.
Right. And I mean, I knew she existed. Right. I didn't know anything about her other than that.
You know who Joey Lawrence is?
Well, yes.
Yes.
Joey, I'm a fan of.
Candy Burris is the one that's a Real Housewives, and she was on a girl group called Escape from the 90s, I think.
Okay. That sounds a bit familiar.
Kato Kaelin, you're familiar with.
That would be hard to not know.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know.
Just cracked out of an egg.
Right. I don't know Lolo Jones. I don't know Natalie Eva Marie because I don't watch WWE or anything. Right. Ricky Williams, don't know who he is because I don't watch football.
Right. His name, I think I knew, but I didn't know anything about him.
Ryan Lochte, only because Olympics and drama. Tamar Braxton, I know because I watched the Braxton Family Values. So I actually kind of knew of the issues between her and Candy.
Okay.
So
I assume that she's Toni Braxton's sister or something. Yes.
So there's five of them. Toni, Tamar, Trina, Tawanda, and Tracy.
Okay.
Isn't that sad that I can just name them all? Their brother. I don't remember his name, though, because he doesn't make an appearance a lot, but.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched. That's another good one. Like, I like watching Jersey Shore because of the drama and them. They're the two that literally it's a study in how not to communicate. Like, if they would just shut up and listen to people or use certain choice words, they would not have the issues they have.
Mm-hmm.
But Tamar's the worst. She's the baby of the family. And so nothing is her fault ever, you know, and everything should be going her way. So Yeah.
She's kind of loud.
Oh my God. She's like that on the show. That is her all the time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then Tom Green, we knew who he was. Man, I haven't seen him in years.
I mean, I remembered him, but yeah, I hadn't seen him around for a long, long time.
Jonathan Bennett. I think I've seen him in a few things.
I know about Mean Girls and that's it.
Yeah. And Amy knew him from a lot of stuff that she's watched. So I was like, okay. But he's funny. He was cracking me up. The whole thing about, I can't stop farting. We were dying. And then Anthony Scaramucci. So.
Yeah, I think Jonathan was sort of my,
he was like the Ross replacement in a way.
Well, yeah, I mean and sadly, he was the one who was voted out last night.
Yeah, I just saw that because I'm on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I was like, all of a sudden, I realize I'm already talking about him in the past tense. So
yeah,
spoiler. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of my thought too, is that he was sort of, you know, sort of the best role of Ross for me so far, and he's just so, you know, I want to nickname him Eyebrows. and he's just so, like, with the eyes wide about, like, all these cool people he's meeting and whatever. Oh, it's like
when he was on stage with Julie Chen and people are walking out and his face just lit up like, oh my God, these people are here.
I know. He was just so fun to watch.
And then which one was it? Who came out that he was like, oh, the Ricky Williams or somebody. And he was like, I don't know who you are. His face was nothing.
I have nothing for you.
It was great. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I definitely am sad about him being voted out so quickly, just because I thought he was just fun to watch. Whether or not I ever cared about whether you won or not, who knows? But he was just fun.
Right.
And not, you know. Yeah, but it was, his interview with Julie is really hilarious at the end of the show. So look forward to that.
And so, okay, so then spoiler, Anthony Scaramucci, we know, is a fake house guest, supposedly.
Yeah, apparently so, yes.
What I'm wondering and what I'm curious, if maybe they just made that up and that he really decided to just leave.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I can't tell. And, you know, you might have more thoughts about that after watching the episode, because it made more sense about some of the weirdest crap that he was saying.
Okay.
Once we find out that he was just there for, like, this twist.
Okay.
Like, either he was saying weird stuff and that's just what they used for this thing that they did.
Right.
Or he was planting stuff. It's hard to tell.
Okay.
So I don't know what the truth is of that. And I haven't, like, looked up to see if there were any articles or stories about that or whatever, but it either makes the whole time on the show make more sense because he's kind of an oddball, or he just, that is him and they used it and who knows, but I did kind of, that thought crossed my mind too. Like,
yeah,
he decided that he really didn't want to be in it and they decided to make a twist out of it. I don't know, but because it's not like he was, you know, having, I mean, it seems like people were treating him, you know, pretty well, or, you know, they were all having good fun about it. And he seems to have a relatively decent sense of humor about the whole thing, about, you know, his short stint in the White House and whatnot. So
right. I'm kind of, as you're talking, I'm kind of reading the Wikipedia's thing about the fake house guest, Anthony, and how the whole thing kind of went down. And there's one paragraph here. I'm going to read it. However, some viewers have started to speculate if the twist is fake on social media. People think Anthony simply quit, but production didn't want the third quitter in the show's history in its second season, so they created the fake house guest twist. Anthony's come out and stated that he hasn't quit, and news sites have changed the previous stories to say he was a fake house guest, but viewers still believe Anthony simply quit because he acted very much like a real house guest, competing in competitions, got nominated, create alliances, and talk strategy with fellow house guests. So I don't know.
Yeah, but you can't. No. I mean, you wouldn't be able to be a fake
house
twist
guest without actually. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to. I mean, if it wasn't an out for them to let him out of the house without losing face, if it really was a twist from the very beginning, he actually did it really well.
Right.
I mean, because, like, I had no idea that. Right. That was coming. And so I can understand why there could be good speculation about that. But I mean, maybe he's just a good actor.
Right. Or he finally looked around and said, or he finally looked around and go, why am I with these stupid people?
Well, right. I mean, I could totally buy either story. Like, either he was, you know, like a plant from the beginning, you know, set up to do this twist, or he said, whoa.
Right. Like, this is not the platform for me.
Right.
Okay. Let's move on to The Masked Singer. Now, you have not watched this show yet.
I hadn't even heard of it until you mentioned it to me the other day. So
I think it started out, I'm not sure how it started, if it started in Korea or where it started, but people love the show.
Okay.
And the premise is there are famous people. They could be sports, Broadway, TV stars, actual singers. We don't know who they are. And they come in a complete head-to-toe costume. And they sing songs. Everything else about them, when they talk through the microphone and give small little answers, it's voice changed, so you don't know who it is. But their singing voice is their real voice. And so they sing a little bit of these songs, and there's a panel of judges that are trying to figure out who these people are. And so the panel is, it's hosted by Nick Cannon, but then the judges are Robin Thicke, Jenny McCarthy, Ken Jeong, and Nicole Scherzinger. And they've already had four eliminations, so I already know who four of them are, but I'm not going to tell you that because I don't, you know. But some of these people, you can tell. Like, we're sitting here listening to them, me and Amy, and we're like, okay, that person is definitely not a professional singer. There's no way. Or, oh my God, that's so-and-so. You can tell, you know, certain people. But it's funny interaction because you know these voices. And you're like, oh my God, could that be blah, 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 you know? Boy, I'm using that word a lot today, aren't I? But it's kind of fun to just...
How does that go again?
Blah, 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 blah. But yeah, it's just, it's a fun show because it's a little more interactive than just like watching Big Brother. It's like you are trying to figure out as well, who the heck is this? You know, it kind of reminds me of The Mole and how interactive it was. I know, me too. But like trying to figure out who The Mole was. In a way, it's kind of like that. You're trying to figure out who the person is behind the singing. So there was a couple of them. Two of them, well, the first one, obviously, I didn't know. But one of them, we definitely knew right away. And we were right. But the other ones, we didn't know yet. But yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. So you should definitely check it out.
So I did a quick Google. And the first thing I found out is Jenny McCarthy is apparently married to Donnie Wahlberg. When did that happen?
I knew that. They've been married for a while. Yeah, because I
don't really follow the celebrity news very much.
Well, and I've watched a little bit of their show, Donnie Loves Jenny.
Oh, there's a show.
There's a show. Okay. And so then I learned about Wahlbergers, and then I learned about but actually it's kind of funny. One of the singers that sings, me and Amy are both on opposite ends. One of them I say is Joey Fatone from NSYNC. And she's thinking it's got to be like Mark Wahlberg or Donnie Wahlberg. And we're like, if Jenny doesn't know the voice of them, oh my God, that would be kind of funny. Because she's married to Donnie.
All right. So it looks like this is a Fox show. So yes. I'll have to take a look.
It is on Hulu.
I'm trying. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
One of these days I have to decide if I'm going to get the, like, What was I watching on Hulu recently? The Orville.
Oh, yes.
And it drives me nuts having to wade through the ads. So, right. Like, every once in a while, I'm like, should I just bump up my subscription to the ad-free level?
Although there are some shows that even at the ad-free, you still have to go through an ad, like, at the beginning and the end.
Well, that would be okay, because, like, if I know that that's happening, I can do something else. But, like, you know... Otherwise, I don't know.
We kept getting ads.
After having a TiVo for so long, ads are just so, I mean, there's some that I'll watch if they catch my eye. But otherwise,
we were watching The Orville last night. And through The Orville, like, all the ads were playing twice right after each other.
Great.
So instead of going through, like, four ads, we went through eight.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was kind of annoying.
I hope they fix that, because I'm still not caught up on that. I've been recording them now on my TiVo, but I still have a few that I have to watch on Hulu. So, because I think I have one episode left of the first season, and then I can jump in on the second season. But But I've been loving that show. We didn't talk about talking about the Orville, but I think, you know, I've just been trying to not add new shows.
Right.
But
there's some that are just so far, good out there.
Well, right. And I just, you know, like, I'm such a Star Trek fan.
Yes.
That just I once I started watching, I'm like, yeah, I have to watch this because it's such a.
It's a fun take on that
genre. Yeah. Like, it's just it's fun and funny and. Fortunately, not too much with the, you know, like, what's his face? The lead guy name escapes me. Seth MacFarlane.
Yes.
You know, like
Sean McClain. No, that ain't it.
Like, I like, and I really, you know, I like the Family Guy, but sometimes it goes a little too.
Right.
You know, what kind of humor.
Okay, that episode, exactly. You've seen, so you're caught up on that one, right?
On the Family Guy?
Yeah, no, on Orville.
No, I'm not caught up. I have one episode left of the first season.
Okay. So you haven't seen the second season at all?
Not yet.
Okay. There's one episode with Bordas. Trust me, you'll know which one I'm talking about when you get there. Okay. It was weird.
Okay.
So far, that's the only one that's been weird. And it was, we got done watching that episode and we looked at each other and we're like, what the hell did we just watch?
Neat.
So it was like,
it's sort of, there are some interesting things about, you know, like the universe.
I mean,
and
I will say they talked about a subject that a lot of people have issues with, whether they're married or single, but it was just a little uncomfortable, a little weird.
All right. I look forward to it, I guess.
So, I mean, it's the first one. You're just like, just you'll get through it. But yeah.
Okay.
Have you started watching the new season of Star Trek Discovery?
No,
we haven't either yet. No, I keep forgetting, and we're like, "Oh, we gotta watch that."
Yeah, I mean, I think anything where first, I'm not even caught up with my TiVo shows because I've been working on some other things that we may end up talking about. But so I'm a little behind on just my regular TV. So
right.
Anything where I have to go off of, you know, like either switch to some, you know, an app or my Apple TV or whatever, I haven't even gotten there yet. But
right.
I'm
right.
Working on it. I'm trying right. to, you know, but I don't want my TV watching to be work. So.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I've been watching some videos and stuff related to other stuff. And so I've been watching a lot of, you know, like audio video content, just not TV programs.
So I sit on my butt all day, every day now, and I sit in my craft room because if I don't, my cat won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I have so much stuff on my list that I should be watching, but then I'm like, but then I have to pay attention or it's like, I don't want to get too involved right now because I don't have the time to finish it. So I always fall back on Voltron. Because I haven't watched the new one and I keep seeing memes about the end and I'm like, okay, this looks really good. And it is really good, I should say. So I've been watching a lot of that. And then there was something else I was watching. And I don't remember what I keep. It's that one and something. Oh, Highway Through Hell. I end up watching.
Sounds a little familiar. So this is totally off from where we were going, but I was looking at something else. Have you been looking at the inspiration photos for Shop Hop?
No.
Have you got any of those yet?
No.
So they've posted, it looks like three shops
Where are they posting at?
Well, social media, but I'm actually catching up. I thought I saw one of them, I think, on Instagram just by Happenstance, but they're also posting them on Ravelry in the Minnesota Yarn Shop Hop group.
Okay. Just so I can go there.
So the theme is games this year, right?
Oh.
Yeah, right? This is going to be so fun. And I think you might have a good guess on what the game inspiration for Knit and Bolt is. Just think back to what they did for their anniversary thing when we were there for Yarn Shop Day.
D&D.
Yes.
That's kind of like cheating then, isn't it?
Maybe.
It depends on what they do.
So for Harriet and Alice, which is a new shop on the hop, it looks like it's Chutes and Ladders.
Okay.
And Three Kittens.
Oh, yep.
It's
okay.
Something I've never heard of. Mystery Date Game.
Oh.
It looks like it's some like retro old game.
That's very old. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that might be interesting. So those are the only three that are on Ravelry. I don't know if there are more that are out there yet. But so I love games and, you know, like board games and other, you know, games and stuff. So this year I think is going to be super fun.
I'm going over to Instagram to see if they've posted more.
Yeah.
Because all those pictures came from Instagram, it looks like. So.
Yep.
Switch accounts.
I think I got the mystery date one on Facebook too, but you know, it's sort of whatever shows up in my feed randomly. So
let's see. Minnesota shop hop. There it is. Oh yep, they got more up there. Somebody's got Rubik's Cubes.
Oh, I did see Yarnery. I got an email from them today, so yep. I saw that.
And somebody else put up Okay, I don't know if this is just a general picture or what, but they have the monkeys in a barrel picture.
Oh. Mm. Yeah. Interesting. Is that a game?
It's a barrel of monkeys, yeah. It's okay. A game.
And I know it's a toy.
It was like a pickup game kind of a thing. Okay. Kind of like pick up sticks. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So make things happen. What's this one? Oh, on your calendar yet. Join us April 4th through 7.
Yeah, it's coming up. I need to finish my scarf. Towel, whatever that thing is called.
Shoot. Which one are we doing? The Doctor Who one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to finish mine too.
Yeah, so does my mom. I work on it in chunks.
Me too.
The weaving in all the bajillion ends is sort of tedious, but I'm trying to do it as I go.
So how has your home been? Because I've been having lots of issues with mine.
Other than my ridiculous neighbors who like to open their garage door about a million times a day, mostly okay. It's a little chilly by the windows and stuff.
Right.
But other than that, because, you know, it's Minnesota and it's January. And that means sometimes when that happens, we get single digit and below weather. It happens. But my energy bill will be a little high. That's just the way it is. But yeah, I have these neighbors whose garage is underneath my house, which I don't know why they didn't build this with more like sort of soundproofing
and insulation stuff.
It's so weird to me how loud these things are. Also, we have quiet garage door openers now. They should just all get them. I mean, if I ever replace mine, I'll probably get a quiet one just because, you know, I mean, I'm the only one who hears it, but still, you know,
right.
It would be nice to have it be quieter. But yeah, I mean, and sometimes I think that they might be letting their kid play with it.
If you keep yours noisy and they all got quiet ones, at least then you'd know if somebody was breaking into your garage.
True. That's true. I'd be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that it seems like they might be, you know, some of it might be, I know that they have a kid who uses the passage, you know, cause we have keypads and stuff, to get in and out, and that's fine. But it seems like, you know, there was one day where it was like pulsing, a blender.
Oh my God.
Where they were just like, it was just going like, you know, just, you know, a foot up and a foot down and a foot up and a foot down. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
Like, I literally don't know if there's something wrong with it.
Right.
Or if they're just playing with it or right. They don't know how to operate a garage door after living here for almost a year.
Right.
So it's one of those. I don't know. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's like if I didn't have to deal with the garage doors and the slamming passage doors, my life would be very nice.
Right.
So. Actually, I should knock on some wood because I haven't heard a single garage door yet since I got home. So,
well, I've mentioned my power issues. Half my house still doesn't have power.
Yikes.
And then we found out because of when we were trying to get that repaired, we found out we had what's called water bladders under our house.
That sounds all kinds of awkward.
Right. So you've got under a manufactured home that's on stilts like this, you've got. Underneath the house, you've got insulation and then a moisture barrier. And so from underneath, you can see the moisture barrier. Well, when you have a leak, it hits the insulation kind of absorbs some of it. And then when it starts to get heavy, that moisture barrier kind of catches everything and it just holds it there. So we had these three huge bubbles bowing down under our house full of water. which is probably why we have a power issue. So we had to poke holes and cut some of that open, which I think is exposing probably some of the ductwork and making it cold. But then we had, since January 1st, we could not get our house heated past 65 degrees. And at night, it would drop down to like 52. Lots of blankets.
Yeah, that's excessively chilly.
Yeah. And well, we finally got that under control, and now we've able to keep the house at 70-ish, which is nice. Still no power issues. But then while the guy was here, he let me know, because we also have been having issues with our washing machine, and we found out that it's irreplaceable. It's not fixable. We basically have to get a new washing machine, and it's leaking water, which probably contributed to some of the freaking bubbles underneath because of the vent where the dryer is right behind the washer. And then we found out, oh, hey, by the way, your air coil in your furnace that connects to your outside air conditioner needs to be replaced. But the problem is you have an older unit and they have phased those units out. You won't be able to get parts in the next year. So if anything else happens next year to your furnace, you're not going to be able to fix the part. You're going to have to replace it. So you might as well replace it now. And I'm like, oh my God, I've already spent my severance check on electricity repair that didn't actually get fixed. And now I have three more appliances I have to replace. Wow. Shoot me now. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not, no,
I look at renting.
I do appreciate the fact that, well, I don't know what I appreciate. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what in there I was trying to appreciate, but maybe being able to plan, even if it's short-term planning for a furnace. Like, I never want people to have to do what I did, which is my furnace is not operable right now, and it is really cold.
Right.
And fortunately for me, I was going out of town for a few days.
Yeah.
So, because it was like right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I remember
It was Wednesday night before Thanksgiving that I realized I had a problem, and Excel, you know, someone from Excel came and they red tagged my furnace, so I couldn't use it. I mean, if I did, I would just, you know, be putting myself at a health risk.
Right.
And then, or was it? Well, yeah. So anyway, it fortunately wasn't super cold like right away, but it was getting colder, and with no furnace, it was really kind of cooling off. So fortunately I was going to be out of town for a couple of days. So my cats went and lived at my parents' house, and then I was able to kind of manage until they could come Monday and give me a new furnace. But it was kind of a pain having no furnace for a few days.
And at least, like my wife said, she goes, well, it's running now, so we will wait.
And it's not killing you. No. It's just not keeping you warm enough.
Well, no. And now it is, because they did replace a gas valve, and we can control the temperature. Here's my theory is that since I have a smart home stuff, I had on my smart things app, I had their thermostat director, which would let me connect everything. And so instead of trying to program the thermostat itself with a schedule, it handled it for me so I could easily change it. So I had it set so that if the temperature dropped below 69, it would kick in the furnace to bring me up to 69. And in the summer, if it dropped below a certain, or if it rose above a certain temperature, it would kick in the air. Somehow something was screwing that up to the point that it wasn't running properly. And so it was having a hard time just running, period. Once I turned that off on Sunday or Monday night, after the guy came on Monday, because he had to come back on Tuesday or Wednesday and then Thursday. So once I turned that off on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, after he left Wednesday, everything was working. And he's like, I didn't do anything. When he came back Thursday, I told him, he's like, I didn't do anything other than clean some things out. Plus we realized Saturday morning before I called him, I had a brain fart and realized we finally put air filters back on that last year, and we never checked them. They were so clogged. So we were getting no airflow. So that was issue one.
Yeah.
So once we did that, instead of it getting down to 52 in the house at night, it was getting down to 62 at night. So by 10 degrees, we changed that. But then I think that schedule thing was having an issue. So I've had that turned off, and now Alexa's actually handling it, and it's working better. So we're at least now staying at the temperature we tell it. Like, if I want it 72, it'll get to 72 and it'll stay there. So the furnace side is fine. But come summer, we're going to have issues because that A coil is leaking. It will leak if I run it down into my floor, another bubble. And so we're going to have to replace it before summer. But at least we've got quite a few months before we have to deal with that. So the washer, though, is a problem because that is leaking now. So, yeah, the joys of owning a home.
Yeah, it's super
fun. I look at my children and I tell them all these things and they're like, I don't want an adult. I'm like, me neither, kid. Me neither.
Yeah, there are some things that are unfortunate.
Yeah. And I keep telling them, like, hey, when, like, they would complain about high school or anything at school. I'm like, hey, all you have to worry about homework and what you're going to wear. That's it. Wait until you're done. Cherish this time now, because once you're out of high school, you're going to have bills and a job and all these things you're going to think about. They're like, ugh, can we just keep going to school? I'm like, yeah, you can be a career college person if you really want to.
Yeah.
But I don't talk to my neighbors, though. So I don't have neighbors close enough that I have to deal with.
Yeah, I don't talk to mine either. Well, that's not true. I yell at them a little bit, but they can't hear me because right. their garage door is covering up all the sound.
I picture sometimes when you tell me these things, I could just picture you like leaning out, being that one lady in the apartment building that leans out her windows yelling at people that walk by.
I don't do that. I have had a few circumstances where, particularly with the garage that's underneath my bedroom, there have been some renters. So I own my home, but some of the ones in this building are rented out, and that one's a rental. And as is the one where the garage is right under my bedroom or my living room. And there have been some folks who have been there where, like, there was one kid who was like working on his car or something. And it's like, well, I get it. Like, you need to fix your car. Technically, that's actually not allowed by our association rules, right. But whatever. I mean, I get it. But it was like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, like banging away at his car. And I'm like, and so I open my window and I'm like, hey, you know, and he's like, the look on his face when he realized that there was like
a person above talking you. To
him from a window. I'm like, first of all, you know that someone lives here, right? Like, these windows aren't for show. And so my living room and master bedroom windows look out over the parking lot area. So I kind of know a lot about what's going on,
right.
Whether I want to or not. I do have other windows that face other directions, but those are the main ones that are, you know, sort of ones that I look out. But yeah, just the look on his face, I will never forget. He was just like, whoa, what's going on up there? Like, I just need you to, like, maybe stop for the night because it's late and, you know, whatever.
And you've had to deal with smokers.
Yeah, that's sort of a relatively new thing. That's actually not been a thing in, you know, for most of the rentals. I think just because I think there's just, fewer smokers out there these days, right. I think. But, and I don't know if the prior owner of this one rental, because it used to be rented out by someone else and then it foreclosed and someone else bought it. But the prior person also rented it out. And maybe he had a rule that no smoking was allowed. Clearly, the current owner does not have that rule. Or if he does, it's only for their house because they've been smoking in the garage a lot.
Yeah.
And outside the garage. And I've not noticed it as much now that it's been bitterly cold. So I don't know what they're doing. But there have been some times where I open my garage door and, you know, like, I can just smell all the smoke coming into my garage, and it does kind of leak through the outside of the frame of my windows, but that's where the air leaks. But right. Yeah, so I haven't noticed it so much in the last couple of weeks again. So I don't know what's going on, but it has been sort of an intermittent problem that there are no association rules about it. So I'm kind of out of luck.
Right.
For that. So it's like, I don't really want to move, but I'm not sure how much longer I can put up with sort of the noise and
the hassle,
smoking possibilities and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot to think about.
And I finally got to join all my friends who have iPad Pros and Apple Pencils. And realize how much we love our iPad Pros and Apple Pencils, don't we?
I love my, I wish it wasn't as heavy as it is. Right. It's not even that it's so heavy, but I definitely can tell, you know, because I don't take it to work with me all the time, but sometimes I do, especially if I think I'm going to be able to work on something like during my lunch hour or something like that.
Right.
Or if I need it after work for something. And it's significantly heavier. My tote bag is significantly heavier with it than without it.
Right.
So that's something that is a little bit unfortunate about it, just because, I mean, I've been having shoulder problems. So the last thing I need to do is add weight to my tote bag. But I do use it all the time. I mean, I'm one of those people who's on my computer at work all day long. And sometimes about the most I can muster up is to open my iPad in the evening to, you know, kind of read stuff or catch up with stuff or, you know, whatever. I do. I haven't been doing that too much lately, but yes, that's definitely.
See, Michael,
that was actually one of the biggest things that I got it for. And then I kind of wasn't doing it as often.
Right.
But that's okay. I use it for tons of other things. Yeah. So,
and see, Michael, when the iPads first came out, as a graphic designer, I was like, yes, I can finally, you know, sketch on the go or design some stuff on the go. And then when I got my iPad, like, none of that stuff was really there, and all the different styluses that were out, like, none of them worked as well. Like the rubbery nib things are too fat to get like real precision, or the styluses that did connect, the lag was so bad that it wasn't even worth it. And so when I finally got the new iPad Pro and the new Apple Pencil, oh my God, I do all my design stuff on there now.
Yeah,
like everything starts there, including like my InDesign work. I have the little app that I can quickly draft up stuff and then send it to my big computer. But so much stuff, I start there. And like, you, well, okay, so I did this card for the Minnesota Genealogical Society's 50th anniversary postcard that we're going to be sending out. That entire front image I did on my iPad in Procreate. Yeah. And it was so easy. And Procreate, oh my God, I can't talk enough about that program. I love that program. It does so much fun stuff. And you can import brushes and backgrounds and things. And yeah, I've been having a ball learning that program. But, and then coloring, of course. And taking notes. Even taking notes is fun. It just works so smooth. So, and then I had to replace my wife's iPad because one of her cases broke. And as she, you know, tried to deal with it, manage with it, and it kind of, it comes into, you can take it apart in two pieces, but the piece that the one snaps into to like tilt and open the keyboard up was flimsy. And so you'd go to open the keyboard and it would just come off. The top half, and the thing would still stay where it was moved. It didn't move real smooth. Well, she went to open it once and it literally let go of her iPad and it hit our floor and shattered.
Oh,
so she had been dealing with a scratched screen for like 2 years and she was not happy. Yeah. So I finally for Christmas got her a new iPad. Turns out that I think your Apple Pencil, because you have the first version, right? With the little lightning plug. I think that version will work with her iPad. Even though she's not an iPad Pro, she's the new iPad.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, why can't they make them work with our phones too then?
Well, that's, you know, I was talking to someone, a coworker of mine who, she got, is it like a Galaxy
Note
of some kind. Yeah. And she loves the fact that it has like a little stylus pencil type thing that she can use with it. She's like, because I don't remember why she was thinking about maybe getting an iPhone, but she would miss having
the stylus,
stylus thing that she just, you know, and her phone isn't that old either. But she was giving it some serious thought, except for that. And that's, you know, it's like I don't really think about it all that much because I don't even use the pencil as much on my iPad as I used to. But it is a nice thing to have.
Yeah.
And it would kind of be nice to have like maybe like a little Apple mini pencil.
Right.
That I could have with my phone.
I use Procreate and Procreate has made a mini version for my phone, which is big. But my fingers are a little big to be trying to draw on that thing. So having like a little stylus that I could quick make up some backgrounds or whatever for my Etsy merchandise would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So. And then you and I love to use online tools. And we both love Airtable.
Yeah, I had kind of played around a little bit with it because you had set up something for our podcast, which doesn't seem to be, doesn't seem like either one of us has done anything with that for several episodes.
I keep forgetting about it. Yeah.
Well, and now I understand it a little better, which is part of why I was like, don't do this. But it reminds me a lot of an app that I used to use, and we didn't really call them apps then,
right.
But in the Palm Pilot environment called Handybase, which apparently is still sort of out there in some capacity or another. But I built tons of tables in Handybase or like databases for different kinds of things like, well, it's entirely possible that I created episode guides on there for different TV shows that I watched. I'm so glad that those that there's like apps, you know, like I think we both use TV Time now.
I don't think have we ever talked about that on our show. I don't think we have.
I don't know. But that's another online tool of a sort right. that but yeah, so and I used to use a different one, but it doesn't seem to really work anymore. So but yeah, because generally speaking, all I was trying to do was make sure that I was getting, you know, like I don't know why I created my own, because it wasn't really all that, it wasn't for what I use it for now. But in any case, I liked having databases, and they still exist on some laptop. I think my old Toshiba laptop still has all the backups of all these things. I don't know if they're in a format that's readable, but I had very extensive databases of TV shows that had, you know, the title, the air date, the writer, the director,
right.
the episode synopsis, you know, whatever. I don't know why I did that, but I did. I apparently had a lot of time on my hands, you know, whenever that was. And Palm Pilots were quite some time ago now, but yeah, so it kind of reminds me of the functionality though, where it was really easy for me to design exactly what kinds of fields I wanted right. and how I wanted to arrange them and whatever. So now I've been experimenting a little bit more with using it for some other functionality that I, you know, hadn't occurred to me. I think I started like back when I was first playing around with it, I was trying to figure out some way to put together something for like my pen and pencil collection, to sort of like figure out, you know, be able to keep track what I do own, what I don't own, what I have refills for, you know,
right.
stuff like that. And I didn't get very far because I wasn't really sure what I was doing, or I wasn't really sure what I wanted it to look like either. And I think you kind of have to know what you want or at least start having an idea of what you might want. So now I started playing with a few other like template ones that I'm looking at for like books. And then I downloaded a template for a blog editorial calendar thing because I might be starting a new one or repurposing one of my blogs for another purpose related to the other thing that I'm actually working on building right now, which is a database of all of my Stampin' Up! Stuff. I've been involved in some capacity with Stampin' Up! Since, I don't know, the early aughts anyway. So somewhere around 2002, 2003, something like that. So I've been collecting a lot of stuff over the years, ink pads, papers, designer series papers, stamp sets, shockingly enough, stamp sets themselves, and other, you know, other things that, you know, you just have. And so it's always been really hard for me to figure out how to keep track of those things. A few years ago, I started trying to figure out how to do it in a Google Sheets environment so that I could maybe share it with my mom and stuff, because she also has stuff, and
right.
especially stamp sets. Then we could, you know, try to, we don't really need to both buy the same stamp set because we live just, you know, 10 minutes from each other.
Right.
So we can share things like that. But it was really hard keeping track. What I struggled with a lot was keeping track of when things retired. So, you know, I'd have them in a list of like what the current catalog products are and what things I want, what things I have, et cetera. And then, you know, things retire on a regular basis. That's just sort of the nature of the thing. And so I would constantly be like copying or cutting and pasting them into a different sheet of retired things instead. And it was kind of unwieldy.
Right.
So I was kind of thinking about that. And all of a sudden I was working on that the other day. It was the last weekend. And all of a sudden Airtable popped into my head. And I'm like, you know, you can create your own fields and do some things. And it just sort of spiraled where I realized you can just have a checkbox for whether or not it's retired or not.
Or make it, you can do the drop down list thing. So you could have like active yeah. or retired or in my collection or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of trying to take it a little bit slow so that I kind of have some time to revamp some things. So right. originally I started working on, a table of like all the ink pads, right? And so I was like, I put the product number and the color and whether or not, so they have two different, like an older style pad and a newer style, that a lot of mine are the old style. So I want to know which it is. So I was kind of, you know, working on that. And then I realized, you know, these colors are for all kinds of different things, markers, other kind, you know, the little ink spots,
right?
The paper, all these different things come in all these colors. I really need a table that's just the colors. And then I can tie those, you know, I can, it's a relational database thing, you know, like Access, right, or whatever way easier to use, in my opinion. So then I had to sort of shift gears a little bit and kind of like work on just what does my color table look like? And then, which was actually what ended up being really good about that too, was that I have tons of colors that I don't care about keeping track of right this second, because I'm really concentrating on what the current colors are, not so much all the retired ones. But I have tons of retired ones going back 15 years that at some point I want to add in and keep track of, you know, what do I have for those for inks and papers and whatever. And that's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I can just add them to the color table later. I don't have to do that all right now. Whereas if I try to, like, because my thinking was I'll set up something for the stamp pads and then I can just kind of like copy that format and do it for markers and I can, you know, whatever. But if I put in all the colors first, I'll never be done.
Right.
So this way I just do the colors, you know, in one table, and then the inventory items are separate tables. Another thing that I realized, so the Stampin' Up! Has designer series paper that coordinates, of course, you know, it's patterned paper that coordinates with the regular colors, you know, the straight colors. And so I actually ended up putting in for that a field where I can put all the coordinating colors. And of course, it links back to the same color table. So then I can say, oh, okay, that coordinates with, you know, Garden Green and Mary Merlot or whatever, which I'm always having to go to the catalog to look up, or the, you know, for retired colors, I have to go to, or retired papers, I have to go to old catalogs to look up.
Right.
So now as I kind of build my inventory of what I have and I put in those colors, it'll just always be at my fingertips. And it's, you know, so far it's been easier to work on it either on a computer or my iPad, but I can pull it up on my phone. And so if I'm out and about and, oh, do I have this, that, or the other thing? Or if a friend wants to borrow a stamp set, I'll have that information.
Yeah.
There's tons of different things that I need to build, so it's going to take a while. You know, there's all kinds of different tools and different products to kind of maintain. But yeah, it's one of the largest light bulbs you've ever seen go off above someone's head when I realized, oh, Airtable.
Yeah.
That would work so well for this. And I think when I have it kind of built, I think I should be able to create a template of it for my, you know, other Stampin' Up! Friends.
Yes, yes.
To be able to use if they want to.
Yep.
So
for people that don't know, so Airtable has, it's a database program online, and you can have workspaces, and then within those workspaces, you have what they call a base, which is your database. And so like I have, for workspace, I have home, crafts, my Etsy stuff, and then stuff for MGS and stuff for the podcast. And then within those, like for the home one, I've got my job search database, my bill tracker database, what the kids owe me for money, home remodeling, my genealogy records log and stuff. And I think what I'll do after we're done here is I'll do a quick little video and post that on the Facebook page of this and the next thing we're going to talk about, so people can visually see what we're talking about. I think that'll be helpful. And it comes with templates, and there is a universe which people share their stuff. So you could maybe even share your Stampin' Up! One on the universe.
Yeah. I don't know. What I'm a little concerned about is just that I don't know if I could call it,
right,
because it includes proprietary information. I don't know exactly how that would work. So, yeah, I'm a little fuzzy on what I would be able to do that way.
Right.
Because, yeah, I mean, I'd be happy to just share it, you know, but I'm not exactly sure how that part of it works.
Right.
But in any case, it made it, you know, super brilliant as far as trying to figure out how to organize this stuff going forward, because like with other things, and I think more sort of in terms of SharePoint, where I have, you know, like SharePoint lists and I can have a view. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that that's an Access thing too. It's just been so long since I worked in Access that I don't remember exactly how that all right. works. But Airtable has that. So that's a really easy way where you can kind of, you know, you can set up a view with, you know, certain filters applied or certain criteria applied.
Yep.
So I can have one. I can make sure that I have a view that's just current product or just retired product, yep, or all the product or other criteria that might pop to mind that would be helpful to have. You just have a view for all those different things, mm-hmm, and you can easily switch between them. And yeah, it was kind of mind blowing in a way when I was like, oh my gosh, this is the perfect thing for this thing that I want to have.
So then on the flip side of that is a thing that I've ran into that Christy doesn't even know about yet. Well, I mean, I've told her now, but
what?
And it's called Google's Data Studio. So what it is it's a way to create reports or views of data, a ways to look at data that you have and manipulate it into something visual. And you can create, it's free. You can put in all sorts of data sources. So like if I wanted to create a new data source, I can put in for free, I'll just list them off what it says. You can upload a file of a spreadsheet or something. Attribution 360, I don't know what that is. BigQuery is one. Campaign Manager, Cloud Spanner, Cloud SQL, Display and Video, Extract Data, blah, blah, blah. We don't know any of those. But Google Ad Manager, Google Ads, Google Analytics, Google Cloud Storage, or a Google Sheet. You can connect a Google Sheet to it, which is what I've done. Or there's some paid partner ones for other stuff as well that I don't pay for. But I've been doing a lot of Google Sheets. So I have stuff in a spreadsheet and I can connect it through here. And then from there, I can make pretty visual reports, but they're kind of interactive. Like I can put a date range thing. And like one of my reports I use, if this, then that, and it automatically logs in a Google spreadsheet different things for every day. And I could take that sheet and connect it as a data source and make something pretty, but then I can add in a field that I can, in that report, change the date and all of the information in that little sheet that I'm looking at will change. So it's just a fun little way to take data that you have and explore it and analyze it and manipulate it into something visual. So different, you can put charts, you can put bar charts, you can do a geological visual map of data, of where your data is coming from, if that's one of the things that you track.
Geological?
Well, geographical?
That's
the one.
Okay.
If you've got a database of geological samples.
Do we need to hire some archaeologists to work on this?
I mean, you could probably make a spreadsheet out of it and go with it, but yeah.
Sure.
So yeah, it's just, I did a lot of that. I'm using it mainly for social media and website tracking information. There are some services like the spreadsheet one. I obviously, with the Excel, the Google spreadsheet, I obviously have to update that myself. But there are some connections that I think I'm getting them for free right now that will automatically keep that updated. So then I can just go into my spreadsheet and just change the date and I can see the new info. But yeah, it's a great way. If you've got a spreadsheet of data, you can plug it in and then build a report or build a visual graphic out of it. So for free. So that was cool.
Yeah, I pulled it up just to kind of take a look at it. At Google.
Yep, they're always
all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they do. And then I had in our notes, we need to talk about something genealogy related.
Oh, do we? Are you sure that we're not going to talk about something geologically related?
Well, we could probably talk about that too, but I don't know a damn thing about rocks.
I took at least two classes in college about geology, but that was just because I didn't want to deal with chemistry.
Yeah.
And I had to take a lab. So I actually did take like Rocks for Jocks. But it was actually a very interesting class. I learned a lot about rocks.
Oh.
But that was also a long time ago.
Yeah. I just know, but some rocks, if you crack them open, they're pretty inside. That's about it.
Like a geode?
Yeah, sure. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that you crack open and they look like crystals or whatever inside. Those are geodes.
I have my mom laughing.
I remember one thing.
Because she's like, my kid's dumb.
I took I took one where it was like a lab class, and then one that was environmental geology, and that was actually really fascinating because I learned all kinds of stuff about like erosion and landslides and earthquakes and all that kind of stuff that's related to like the environment.
Right.
So it was actually it was a good class. Also, the book was short, so not that I don't like reading, but I was also taking other things. But so genealogy related. All right.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I was gonna say pretty much my whole geology. My whole genealogy world right now is pretty much focused on the Minnesota Genealogical Society and various things having to do with that right now.
Same.
So, like, every once in a while, my mom says something about like something that she's working on. And I'm like, but I am taking a course coming up soon. It starts the 23rd. So just a little under a month from now. But that probably means 4 weeks from today. That is going to be sort of a intermediate-ish level course where I'm actually going to have to like do writing and stuff. And I don't know what I'm going to write about. I run into this all the time when I'm trying to take classes and courses and stuff that are more advanced, is that because my mom has done so much work on our family's stuff,
I don't know
what to do.
I've got it.
Oh,
You do my grandfather. You can write about him. And then you can do the work for me.
I'll look into it. Well, maybe that's how we can do some trade-off I need to fix that. Some upcoming needs that I might have.
Yes.
Because, I'm not busy enough.
Right.
So I decided that I would rejoin the Stampin' Up! Family. That's kind of related to this whole thing that I'm using Airtable for. Although I would have stumbled across Airtable eventually because this is something I've been struggling with just as a customer. But I was a demonstrator back from 2006 to 2012. I left for reasons that made a lot of sense at the time. I'm not going to go into that. But between both, things that were going on in that particular thing. But I've always really just been interested in it as a hobby level thing. And that is still true. Stampin' Up! Is a really good one if you're interested in the products, of course, which I very much am.
Which I think I need to replace my spots because I think they've all dried out.
Sadly, I have some sad news on that front for you. At this point, the only way that you can get spots is by subscribing to Paper Pumpkin. And they come in your Paper Pumpkin. I mean, that's not sad for me because I've been subscribed to Paper Pumpkin forever. So I have tons of little spots. That was something that I didn't realize, or maybe I forgot about, that they don't sell. I mean, they used to sell them in color families.
Right.
But another sort of affordable alternative, depending on what you use them for, is the markers.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I have water brush markers that I would use them for, that I would use the spots.
Because
I could get a lot of colors, but then I just need a little bit. And then I can like watercolor with them in a way.
Okay.
Because I don't want a whole ink pad.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Interesting.
Because I don't do as much stamping as I used to, actually. I think Amy got rid of all of our stamps now.
It's really just, if it's literally the ink that you want, the ink refills are pretty affordable.
Yeah.
So I loved
when they were in color families because I could just pick one and I knew they all kind of coordinated because they were all the same like tone. You know what I mean? Yeah.
The color families still exist.
Yeah.
They did a major refresh this last June, which is part of what, in my time of doing Stampin' Up!, this was the second big refresh of the color families.
Okay.
And that was one of the things that I was dealing with. Well, I'm still dealing with to some extent because I have a lot of stuff.
I want a catalog.
I'm getting my original supply order is coming on Monday.
Okay.
With some catalogs and things.
So you mean I might actually have to go to knitting on Tuesday?
Maybe.
Be like, this is the only way you're getting a catalog is if you show up at Netagon Tuesday.
Right, right. Yeah, so I, so yeah, I've been, it's one of those things where I know I made the decision for a really good reason or a hand, you know, a collection of really good reasons, but I've kind of always regretted it. I've always missed it. Being a demonstrator, even at the hobby level, you still get to do really fun things.
Right.
I went to convention twice. I went to at least one and maybe two regional events, when they were held in Minneapolis. There are things that, if you really love the products as much as I do, and I still don't know exactly why I do, but I do. Part of it is the color coordination. That's always been a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I love playing with color combinations and stuff. And so just knowing that how things coordinate is really fun for me.
Yep.
So I've always, even though, you know, when I originally left as a demonstrator in 2012, I did have some time where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm free to use whatever I want. I don't have to worry about, you know, holding a class where I'm only making things with current catalog products, and I can buy these things, you know. And at the time, Archivers was still in existence, and there were really cool things out there in the world that I would go to Archivers and see. And, you know, I did buy a bunch of that stuff, but I always come back, and I'm really only ever using my Stampin' Up stuff.
Right.
So, and I did start subscribing to, good thing this isn't live, although you never edit any of this stuff out anyway, so blub, blub, blub.
Right. I think it's more fun.
That's true. It makes us like real people, because we are. Where was I going with that? Flub, flub. Stamp it up. Colors.
Archivers.
Going paper back pumpkin. To, I think yeah. I'm starting to go to paper pumpkin. So I started subscribing to Paper Pumpkin, not quite right away when it started, but fairly early on. And although like some of my other subscription boxes, it's actually the first subscription box that I ever tried, because I didn't even really know what a subscription box was yet then. After that, I think I like found out about Birchbox and a bunch of other things that I've tried over time, and I'm down to very few now that I actually get, but I still get the Paper Pumpkin, and I still, you know, I'm a person who I really like the design part of it. So just, you know, sitting down and crafting what comes out of the Paper Pumpkin box is not necessarily my favorite thing. I'll sometimes do one or two things of the kit that comes, and then I'll kind of do my own thing. I'll use it to do other, you know, I'll use some of the stuff to do other projects. And it's really hard to explain.
Right.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, but
I'm looking at the site right now.
Yeah. So basically when you get a paper pumpkin kit, it comes with most of what you need to create, some sort of project or, you know, a bunch of cards or whatever it is.
It says,
so
every kit includes an exclusive stamp set, ink spot, and embellishments to create a pre-designed project at least 6 times a year.
Yes.
And they send all card kits with 8 or more cards.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. So, like, for example, I just did the one that came in December, and it was, it's a
Friends of a Feather. Calendar.
No.
No, that's October. December. Oh, sorry. Day by Day.
Yep. Day by Day. So it is a cute little calendar thing.
Yeah.
And
it is
for
cute.
The most part, I actually made that as is, except I only did mine to include the pages for it. Actually had 18 months of calendar. So it went into 2020, but I just did it for 2019. And so there's some, so it comes with these pages with the calendar dates pre-printed on them, some ribbon. And I think I've seen conflicting information. I thought mine came with 2 spots. Pool Party and Calypso Coral, maybe. I have to go look, because I had the full ink pads for those, so I just pulled those out, because sometimes if I already have the full ink pads, I give the spots to my mother. And then some sheets with sticker sheets that you would ink, you know, like ink with the little, you know, the stamps, and then or stamp with the inks. And put those little, there's, you know, set up so that they already have adhesive on them. So there's sort of like stickers that you just put on the individual pages with the stamping that you did. And then, you know, you kind of put them together with a little backer and, you know, with a ribbon to hang it. There are some other ideas out there. That's actually one of the cool things that I love about the Stampin' Up! Community, is that there are people out there who put out, like on YouTube and other methods, other outlets, ways to use those kits in other ways. And that's one of the things that I really have fun with. But this particular one, I actually went pretty straight up, except I added a third color, Mary Merlot, to my stamping pieces. And then I did three different designs for what I did for those stickers. And then I used Pool Party ink to ink the around the edges of the paper. I'm going to put pictures of this somewhere. I haven't figured out where.
Our Instagram thing.
Well, that's actually, you know, yeah, that's actually something I need to figure out for, you know, like, yes, I want to be, I only really have aims to be a hobby demonstrator, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to like passively do some stuff like social media and whatever. So I may have to think about whether or not that's going to be on my regular Instagram feed or I don't know.
I've got the app to repost. And then it'll put the tag of the original poster. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So anyway, I took some pictures. I actually took it to work, but I really liked how the sides, inking up the sides of the paper really kind of tied in with the ribbon, because it's this color. Anyway. So even though I pretty much did the project as is, I kind of like
made it your own. Yeah.
I kind of added my own, a little bit of my own flair or something.
And then you try to tell me you're not creative.
No, I never said that I'm not creative. I'm not artistic. Oh,
well, there you go. That's still artistic. They're the same thing.
I cannot draw to save my soul. Although that's not true, because I did a YouTube class or like a YouTube video where the guy showed you like how to draw the different things. And I actually did draw recognizable faces. Yeah. So apparently I can. It doesn't come naturally. That's for sure.
And I don't think it comes naturally really to anybody. It's just, like my kids, when they first started drawing, they don't listen to this podcast, but they were horrible. And now I look at the stuff that like my oldest two my two girls put together. Well, even my youngest boy, they're amazing. They're amazing pieces. And I'm like, and it's just because they drew like every day. It's just practice is all it really is. And even me, I'm trying to practice now more. I'm trying to work on lettering. That is a little challenging, but it's getting there and it's getting better. So
there's actually a really interesting, it's something I might order. I haven't decided. So it's in the catalog, in the Stampin' Up! Catalog. I think it's in the main catalog. Cause of course there's we have two, seasonal type catalogs as well. But I think it's in the main catalog. I have no idea what it's called off the top of my head, and my catalog is not handy, but it's actually a thing where you get practice sheets.
Ooh.
To like learn how to do the upstrokes and the downstrokes. And I mean, of course, the goal is that you're using the Stampin' Write markers.
Right.
But you could use other things if you have them. But I like it because you learn how to do that. And then you're using the color, the markers that coordinate with the whole system. But that's actually one of the things that I still need to get for the color refresh. There's still a ton of markers I do not have. Anyway, that's something that I thought was really interesting because it is something that people are kind of into right now. Mm-hmm. And Stampin' Up! Is with that trend. And so, yeah, you get with this particular stamp set, you get practice sheets that help you learn how to do the different, all kinds of different letters and even like some joined letters and things. So that's something I saw a video about it on YouTube, I think. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. I may, even though I'm not super into it, it seems like it might be something that it might not hurt to learn.
Right. And that's, I think, the one thing that I really like, I've always been wanting to do lettering and I got books on it, but then I never did it because of the whole paper, pen, ink, like I'd screw up. But that's the one thing I like about like Procreate. Some of these people, these lettering people use it and they've made guide templates in there. And I can try to draw a letter and, oh, it looks like crap. Two taps, undo, try it again.
Yeah.
And it's so much better. I can keep going until it looks the way I want it to look. And I don't have to worry about, going through tons of paper. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, we are at 1 hour and 14 minutes and 40 seconds.
Well, it's a good thing we don't publish very often, huh?
Right.
An hour and a half every week. Right. Like, unsubscribe. Actually, I don't even know. Do we have subscribers? I don't know. Besides us.
We do. Okay. I don't know. Like, it doesn't tell me like our iTunes subscribers. I don't think. I just know where they come, that they come from there. But I'll send you the latest stats after this.
Could you do that in Google Data Studio or whatever?
Oh, yeah. I totally can. I'll make it a thingy thing.
There you go. There you go.
That was so specific. A thingy thing.
Yeah. I was like, I was sort of kidding, but on the other hand, and then you, there's a function where you can share with people, so you can just share it with me on there.
Yeah, totally.
So, very good. It was, right. It was fun chatting.
Yes. So, until next time, whenever the heck that will be. Because we don't even know.
No. We're at least doing it pretty, you know, somewhat regularly. So
yeah, our last one was, well, I don't even know. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. I have the thing open right here. Our last episode was, drum roll, please. No, I said view and edit. Was December 22nd. So it's been about a month.
Happy New Year, everybody. Right.
And before that, it was December 6th. So we were really close then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was September. And then it was July.
Well,
the summer just kind of went away.
Stuff happens.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. But yeah. Right. So, and well, and happily, your computer situation is resolved again. So yes, we can actually record in separate locations again.
Yes. Yes. That is very handy.
Yep. So,
well, my main computer can do it. I still haven't figured out how to do it on my new Mac.
Well, can't have everything.
No, I really can't.
We've made some progress.
Yes.
Or you've made some progress. I've done nothing. I just show up. So
that's all I need, really. Well, until next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find our show notes and other info on our website at superchunkypodcast.com, and be sure to like us on Facebook. Also, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or other podcasting services.